Well, God bless you, everyone. Thank you, Jerry, for asking me to share on this awesome topic, how to take care of others this morning. Another part of your breakfast, so we could eat some more of God's word here. I got 4 points to make about it. The first is decide to love others. The second is consider others before yourself. The third is believe God works in you. And the fourth is follow up with people. That's it. So I just was thinking about you guys and how thankful I am for your lives and for how I've been cared for by others, how God has cared for me, how guys like Cat Rivera, Noah's dad, when I was a teen, I went to his fellowship in Jersey City. Guys like Steve Silesi, Jerry Carr, Joe Armstrong, and so many others have cared for me so much. And part of the reason I am who I am is because I've been cared for by those, by God and those other people. And it's just really important to me to be thankful for that and to acknowledge that. Well, the first is to decide to love others. I don't know how you would really care for others if you didn't really love them. Did you ever care for a pet or anything? We have a pet, a little dog named Zoe. And God bless my wife, Rosaria. She had Zoe ever since she was born from the litter. She was the smallest, quietest, calmest puppy of the litter. And we actually care for this animal. And I guess if we didn't really want to, we wouldn't. We wouldn't feed it. We wouldn't walk it. We wouldn't bathe it. And it would be a mess. But we decided to care for this thing. So we take care. We love this thing, so we take care of it. And according to God, people are of value. Look at Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29. We tend to take care of things that are of value to us. Did anyone get some kind of new electronic equipment for Christmas? Yeah. I didn't get it for Christmas, but I recently got an iPad, you know, like a white Apple iPad. We take care of it because, you know, it's of value. It costs a lot of money. We take care of it. But to God, people are of value. Matthew 10:29, it says here, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, shall not fall on the ground without your father, but verily every hair of your head. Am I in the right spot? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. 29. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. We've often heard, like, don't compare yourself to a bird. You're way more valuable than a bird. Sparrow's a bird, right? We're very valuable to God. So how valuable are we to God? Romans 14, verse 15. Romans chapter 14, verse 15. Says here, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because the grace that is given to me of God. I'm in the wrong chapter. Romans 14:15. That would be a better verse. Here it is. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat. For whom what? For whom Christ died. God gave his only begotten Son for people like you. That's how valuable we are to God. I think that's like the most valuable thing that God could have ever, the most loving thing that God could have ever done for the thing that's so valuable to him, that's people. And unless we care about people or love people, you know, I don't know how we would really take good care of them. So we need to decide to love people in order to take care of them. That's how to take care of them. You know, part of why I love being a believer and fellowshipping and doing what I do is because of that great care and love we have for each other. Isn't it nice? Do you like it?
Yes.
How do you really feel about it? Does it mean something to you? Well, we're all part of this great family of God, and that love and care that we have for each other is just incredible. So I know you guys love each other and you care about each other and you do it, but this is more on how we could do it, to just think it through. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. The awesomeness of God's word, to just take it in and consider it, is just so easy when we decide to be meek and humble to it. We just let it sink in. Galatians 6, 9 and 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. Especially unto the believers, part of the same household, the people who are part of your family. I had an interesting holiday, spending time with family. It was an emotional time, but I'd rather be with you guys, honestly, because you've decided to take a stand on God's word. I'm so thankful for that. You know, the people in my family, they've all heard the word from me. And like one of them has taken a stand or something. My cousin Erica, God bless you, she does a fellowship up north. You might know Erica. And, you know, the rest of them, they're like, oh, yeah, that's nice. I'm going to go to Atlantic City or something like that. But I'd much rather spend time with you guys. You know, this is especially good to the household. We need to tell people we care about them while we have opportunity. You know, we shouldn't just think about it and never share that with people. That's one of the ways we could care for others, is to tell them. Colossians 3:12. It might be easier for some of you guys to tell a nice, pretty girl you care about them. Have you told another guy that? It's okay. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. How do you get dressed every day? How did you get dressed today? Did someone else dress you? I hope not. Gosh, you had to be over 13 to come to this. I hope you dressed yourself today. You put your clothes on today. Well, this here, put on, in verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. How about dressing yourself up with some of that in your heart and mind? You dress yourself with some of that. How about some bowels of mercies and kindness and humbleness of mind and meekness and long-suffering? You decide what clothes you're going to put on every day. You're going to pick a nice color that matches your shirt or pants or your socks, if you're into that. How about putting on some of these things? You decide to put it on. This kindness is sweet disposition. Humbleness of mind is your needs are not more important than others. You're willing to keep yourself low, humble, and put others before yourself. And then just meekness and long-suffering. Verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That's the love of God and the renewed mind in manifestation. And let's look at Philippians 1, just as an example of some kind of love here. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I just want to read some of these verses here and just consider the heart and the love here. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. How do you think they got in his heart? Yeah, he thought about them. He spent time with them. He decided to love them, and they sunk in his heart. Insomuch as both in my bonds and in my defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I longed after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Did you ever go away and not see your loved ones for a while and you miss them? Or you met some people somewhere and then, you know, they just got into your heart somehow and you just long to see them again? You remember their beautiful smiling faces and you just would love to be there with them. Verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, and that ye may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Can you see the love here that Paul had for the believers here in this prayer? One of the ways we could care for people is to pray for them. Pray for the people you love. Ephesians 4:29. Love is a decision. It doesn't take much to love people. You just decide. God loved you first, right? We can love others first without them doing a thing for us. They don't have to prove themselves to you so that you could love them. You love them because of the word. You just decide to love. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We wouldn't want to tear people down then. We would want to build them up. That's edifying. Build them up. When you decide to love someone and care about them, you would want to build them up. You wouldn't want to tear them down. We get enough of that from the world. We get enough grief from the adversary in the world. We wouldn't want to have that in the household amongst ourselves, the believers. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be kind. That's good and pleasant and benevolent. And tender-hearted here, this is just so great. It's compassionate. And the opposite of that, you know, would be hard-hearted. where you're just, you know, sharp and sort of, you don't let anybody in and, you know, you just blurt out stuff. But to be tender-hearted is to be compassionate. And when you're tender-hearted, it's going to be a lot easier to forgive people. If you're hard-hearted, it's hard to forgive. But when you're tender-hearted, it's just so much easier to do what this verse says. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And forgiven is to pardon, to show oneself gracious and kind, and it's freely giving. When we decide to forgive someone, it's an act of giving. And that is, these are all ways to love and care for each other. We decide to love each other, and then we'll want to care about each other. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. This verse here, the word pitiful is tender-hearted. It's not to just, I don't know, today I think this word kind of has a bad rap. When someone's pitiful, they're just like, psh, it's a pity. But it's to be tender-hearted. We have compassion for one another. Love is brethren. And we're pitiful, tender-hearted, and we're courteous. Courteous here is to be friendly-minded and not hostile. You know, this is a big reason why I just love being in God's Word. Because that's how the family, in the family of God, we treat each other. Not many people are good at this stuff, you know. You're not going to get this out in the world. You might get some fake stuff where they smile and have the plastic thing going, where they kiss you and they go, ah, and they kiss like over here somewhere. But it's in the family of God where you get the real deal, the genuine article. And we've got it right here. And we have it to offer to others. We can love others with this same love. And then some great things happen. We start to act, because that's the caring part. Love is a decision, but caring involves acting it out in what we do. You can be good at this stuff. You can show love, show affection. It's great to give each other hugs and kisses. When was the last time you held someone's hand? You know? I guess, guys, maybe you could just put your hand on another guy's hand for a minute and just... But honestly, you could show affection. We got guys holding hands up in the front row here. How wonderful. That's great. But let people in. Be tender. Don't have walls up in your heart. We'll take care of people when we decide to love them. When we decide to make them valuable to us. Philippians 4:1. Here's another just attitude of heart. Philippians 4:1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Just great heart. As I was caring for my dog, Zoe, the deal is I walk the dog at night only. So I walk Zoe at night by myself. and I like to wear my hat that covers my ears. And I usually read to Isabella, and we pray together, and I put her down, you know, and I was just grooving on my kids while I was walking my dog of how much I love my kids and how much care, what wouldn't I do for them? And I was just like oozing in the love that I have for my children. I was like, you know, if somebody did something to them, what I would do. And just, I was just really loving on my kids, where they just melt my heart. I mean, what wouldn't I do for them? And then I thought, my gosh, does God love me like that? And I was like, holy shit. I'm just a dude, and I could love like that my kids. He's God. The kind of love that he has for me? Holy. My heart melted to my feet. And I just felt so cared for and loved, because I was able to associate my love for my kids with God's love for me. And that's the kind of love that we could love each other with. We just decide to. And we could care for each other like that, because we're part of the same family. My kids are my kids, you know, but we're family by spirit. It's a physical thing with my kids. I'm pretty sure they'll believe God's word if I teach them, you know, and we do. And then they'll be spiritual brothers and sisters, Christ, but yeah. But what I'm saying is that this white-hot love that we appreciate with God can also live amongst us this way. So that's a great way we can care for each other, is to decide to love each other in a great way. And then it'll be a natural response to care and to go out of our way, which is part of this next one we're going to look at here. Consider others before self. Philippians 2:3. We're right here in the neighborhood. Another way to care for others, how to do it, is to consider others before ourselves. Philippians 2:3 says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." And this verse here, a literal according to usage, is, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition, but with humility of mind, let everyone consider others first." And this is where we don't have it be in our minds where other people are better than us. That's not it. But they're ahead of us in priority, where we're willing to put ourselves behind them and put others ahead of ourselves. That's what this is talking about here. With lowliness of mind, we let or esteem others in priority than ourselves. Look, verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." That's how he thought. We could think it too. If God's word says it, it's got to be available. So we can consider others before ourselves. And, you know, God knows better than us. One of the great points Michael made in his teaching is that we have to just accept that, you know, he's smarter than us. He knows more than us. And we have something to learn and to gain from him by being meek and listening to God. And here it is, put others before yourself. Now think about practically what that means. In a setting like this, if you all only thought about yourself, your eyeballs are just completely turned around like this. Me, 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 me. And all you're thinking about is, how do I look? How's my hair? I wonder what I have to do later. Yeah. Okay. How many people are thinking about you? If everyone's doing that. Just one, right? Yourself. But what about God's way? If everyone else came before you in this setting, in this room right here, there's about 109 people here, plus or minus. How many people potentially are thinking about you? Yeah. Which way is better? Let me see. God's way is way better. It's 1,000 times better. It's just so much greater to do it God's way, to put others before yourself. Then, my gosh, being in this family of God in a practical sense is much more beneficial to you to do it God's way, to esteem others better than yourself in priority. Your eyes are off of yourself. This is a way to take care of others, to take your eyes off of yourself. Romans 15:1. We could all partake in the family of God in this way. We just decide to. And it makes it a lot of fun. Romans 15:1 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to what? Not to please ourselves." That's selfless giving, considering others before us. And this involves being distracted. You know, because if you're just grooving on you and into you, and you're just like this, where blinders on and you're just on your own path and you're on your way, whatever comes in front of you, you're just going to ignore because you're in your world. You're in your groove. You're in your thing. But part of caring for others, and it's so great to see it in the word here, is that you're willing to be distracted for others. And that, you know, that is a way to actually follow God's example, in the sense that what we'll see here, Ephesians 5:1 says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, followers as imitators, mimickers. You know, we can follow God, mimic him, be like him. Not that you are a God, but that you are like God in his characteristics. You can be like him. And in 1 Peter 5:7, this is a great verse regarding the subject of caring. 1 Peter 5:7. It says here, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Casting is to just throw it out, throw it up, throw it over to God. All your care. This word care here is divided or distracted mind. It's anxious care, troubled thinking, stuff like that. Mental distractions. All the things that take your attention away that are not deliberate in your thinking, meaning you're bringing it upon yourself. It's not a conscious decision to be this way. It's not a purposeful mind, but it's something more like that's unintended or being pressured from outside and being disquieted and strained. Those kind of things we're to cast to him, to give to God. Why? For he careth for you. Because God cares for you. That second word, care, is to be an object of care or interest. God is actually interested in you. He cares. He's interested. We are something that God thinks about. He thinks about us. He has thought about us so, he's even thought about us before we were even here. In his forethought, he cares about us so much. So he wants us to cast our care to him because he cares about us. So sometimes we need to do that for others in the sense that we care about what they care about. And actually in 1 Corinthians 12:25, turn there. 1 Corinthians 12:25. It says that there should be no more schism in the body. What a weird word. Schism. That means division in the body. But that the members should have the same care one for another. We should have the same care one for another. And this is that no one gets elevated above another, but we would have that same care one for another to be of concern, that we're concerned about each other. The same care one for another. You know, as I was thinking about this, and I mean, I'm sure you have, everybody has their own times they remember in life, but so many of the most awesome, sweet, heartfelt times in my life were because somebody cared for me in some way. When I knew, oh my gosh, this person actually cares about me. Then all of a sudden, marked important time in life. Because somebody cared, you know? And I'm sure you all have moments that you could think about like that, when you knew somebody cared and it touched you. And it's just a great thing that we could be thankful for, that somebody cares about us. And in Luke 10, this is a great teaching from Jesus Christ. Luke 10, how he was asked a question, somebody trying to tempt him again, and he didn't answer it. He asked another question, like Jerry was saying, a couple of records last night that Jerry shared. And here, Luke 10, this is another example of to put others before yourself and to be willing to be distracted yourself, to care for someone else. Verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He, Jesus Christ, said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he, that lawyer, answering, said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. This dude got jacked, took his clothes, so he's naked and wounded and half dead. Just on the floor, out. Now, I went to college. I grew up in Jersey City, went to college in New York City. I must have passed by about 50,000, 100 million homeless people just begging and all this stuff. Never did I pass a person who was naked and half dead on the floor, you know. But this poor dude is out in verse 31, and by chance, oh, good. Here comes somebody. Here comes a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Oh, damn. This is supposed to be some kind of man of God, a priest. and he passes by on the other side. Verse 32, and likewise a Levite, another very religious person, when he was at that place, came and looked on him. He saw him. He looked at him. And he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, now this is someone who was a mix of a Jew and a Gentile, and they were considered dogs, so this is just like some regular dude. A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, there's a difference here. This guy had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn. And he did what? He took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now this is an example of being distracted. The priest was on his way doing something. The Levite was on his way doing something. But the Samaritan, being on his way doing something, stopped. And he decided to take care. And this is what Jesus Christ used to answer the question, who is my neighbor? And as believers, we're neighbors. We should be willing to be distracted for each other, to take care of each other. It's a beautiful thing. Look at Philippians 2:20. Philippians 2:20 says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. And this naturally is just genuinely. It's like this kind of care we're talking about here, it's not forced. It's not, you know, where somebody has to prod you and poke you to go do it. This is something that you would do instinctively and just naturally. It's genuinely. Genuine care is not pushed. It's giving. It's a form of giving. And here, this word care so far, how we've looked at it, is one of them is like the cares of life. Like we're supposed to cast our care to him, right? The cares of this world. In one section of the Bible, that's the cares of this world are deceitfulness of riches that choke the word out of people and it becomes unfruitful. That kind of care, that's the kind of care that is not intended upon. It, you know, you didn't plan it out for it to be that way. It's from the outside in. You're troubled. You're disquieted and you're strained. So you have this care that you need to get rid of. And then the other kind of care is a deliberate care that you actually decide that you're going to go out of your way to take care of something or to do something for somebody. It's an act that's conscious, it's intended, it's thoughtful concern, and it's purposeful. And that's the kind of distracted care that we could have for each other. 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verses 16 through 18 say, it's good stuff here. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Holy moly. This is Jesus Christ went out of his way for us, didn't he? A little bit? just a little bit. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? If you see a need that a brother has and you just ignore it, where's the love, man? Show me the love. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Don't just talk about it and say it, because it's easy for me even to sit up here and talk about this kind of love and this kind of care. But just talking about it means nothing. It's doing it. Having the knowledge of it, like it was so great, Jerry shared, we don't get rewards for the knowledge, for knowing. We get rewards for doing it. Isn't that awesome? So show the love, not in word only, but in deed and in truth. So great. So some of the stuff we're not to be concerned about are, or care about, are the distractions of this world. We shouldn't be sitting around caring about them so much, because we're supposed to give them to God. And then we'll be freed up to care for others. Remember the record where Jesus Christ was on the boat sleeping? What'd he say? What did they say to him? Jesus, don't you care that we're going to perish here? Don't you care? They accused him of not caring. Do you think he cared? They accused him of not caring. But Jesus Christ, he didn't have the same distracted care for the weather that his boys did. He was just like, okay. And he just like rebuked the storm. It didn't turn him upside down in his mind. It didn't move him in that way. He didn't have to give that care to God because he didn't even have it. The other guys had it, you know? So those kind of cares we don't want to hold on to, because they will distract us from caring for others. Remember the record where Jesus Christ was at his friend's house and Martha was all cumbered about? And she said, Jesus, don't you care that my sister's not helping and helping me to serve and do all this stuff? And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful about many things. And, you know, just she accused him of not caring again. And Jesus Christ is like, Martha, Martha, you know, those kind of cares we give to God. We shouldn't let that stuff weigh us down. Philippians 4:6. We already read 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care to him. Why? Because he cares for you. What is casting your care to him about? Philippians 4. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. This is interesting here, this word. It's careful. It means anxious. Be careful for nothing. That's distracted, where your mind is just on other things and you're just kind of worrying and going over and over in your mind about this stuff. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That's how you cast it. You pray. You pray. And then look at verse 7. This is a result of taking that action and actually carrying out God's word in your own life. You're all distracted. You're caring about stuff that you shouldn't really be or need to be. And you pray. And then verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then all of a sudden, you're not so distracted anymore. You're able to just focus again on other things that are probably more important and profitable for your life. So one way that we can care for others is to get others to do the same. Give them the word so that they could pray. Pray with them. You know somebody that's hurting and you're like not sure what to actually do in the situation? Well, you know you could always pray. And that's something you should do right away. You can pray with them. So that's simple, right? All right. Here's a great principle on how to take care of each other. Philippians 2:13. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which forces you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He possesses you and makes you. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You got to believe that God works in you. Do you have Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Well, what is that? It's a lot of things, man. It is an incredible gift that God gave us. Holy Spirit, eternal life, a connection with him. He works in you. It's God's eyes behind your eyes. It's his hands behind your hands. It's his heart behind your heart. When you hide God's word in your heart, that's what you have in there to offer to others. You've got it going on. When you believe that God works in you, my gosh, that is an incredible way to care for people because you're going to carry out God's will. And God knows what's going on. He's the one that's conducting the orchestra of God's family as we all put others ahead of ourselves. You know, it's believing action that we take because we love. We take believing action and carry out care for others. When was the last time you called someone to check in on them? Or wrote someone a note? Maybe you do email now. I was thinking of writing a letter to somebody. You write a nice email to somebody. When was the last time you visited someone just to bless them? Or did something for somebody that they didn't even know you did it to bless them? God works in you. And these are the kind of things that taking believing action we do. And I know God is always awake. He's always doing his part. He's never lazy and slacking. He's always right there with so much stuff. And all we have to do is believe he works in us. And then we will take care of each other like nobody's business in the greatest way possible, in a spiritual hot way that's great, you know. We got one more. And that's following up with people. Acts 15. Acts 15:36. Says, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see what?
How they do.
So they went to all these cities, countries, and they spoke God's word. So he wanted to go back to see how they were doing. And this word here, let us, hold on a second, 1536, right? Yeah. And some of this upon us. Okay. Let us go and visit. The word visit. Never looked it up before. but it sure is awesome. He says to visit. It means to look upon or to look after, to go and see someone. That's how we understand visit, right? It's to look after and have care for, to look upon in order to help or to benefit. And it's to provide for of God in this specific situation. So when you visit someone, it shouldn't be about what you get from them, but what you can give to them and how you could care for them. And the logistics involved in what was just suggested here would have involved at this time traveling by sailboat, that's just the wind, for thousands of miles. It would have involved hoofing it on foot and by animal, with animal. It would have involved weeks, probably months, and it would have also involved paying for food and lodging and clothing and all that stuff. So talking about being distracted or going out of your way for others, this was quite an effort to do back then. You know, maybe today it's a lot easier to pick up the phone or to take a flight or something like that. You know, you can have an itinerary that is so much faster now with modern technology. But I thought about Bob. Do you guys know what Bob Chatton does?
Nobody does.
He goes to South America and travels throughout South America to different cities and countries. And he shares God's word with people. And the cost and the effort and the, you know, all of that stuff, it's just like this. And it's because of the care and the love and following up with people, visiting people, you know. It's so awesome that Bob does that. And we could also do that too with the people that we've spoken the word to. We can visit them. We can check up on them, see how they're doing. And that's caring for them. It's actually doing something. And in Luke 1:68, you know, when you care for someone so much, those kind of things like time and effort and all that, they don't really matter very much to you. It's like, oh, so what? I care, so I'm going to do it. Those are not great obstacles. Luke 1:68. Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. That's the same word. God visited, to look upon or after, to go and see, to look upon in order to help or benefit, to look after, to have care for and to provide for. And James 1:27 will be our last verse. James 1:27. Says here, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This visit is the same word, to look upon or after, to go and see someone, to look upon in order to help or benefit, to look after, to care for, and to provide for. Jesus Christ also followed up with people. We saw that in a record last night. He would do something for somebody, deliver them, and then go back and check up on them or something like that. And it's just a natural response of someone who actually cares. It shouldn't be forced. And when you love someone, it's not forced. It's giving. It's a form of giving. And this family of God that we're in is so incredible because of God's design for us to love and care for each other. So there's a lot of practical things I just shared about how to do it. And they were to decide to love others. You walk in love. To consider others before yourself in priority. And to believe God works in you. You take believing actions to do. And to follow up with people to see how they're doing. And that is how to care for others. All right?